Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I know it's football season because joining us right now in his weekly spot, the Hall of Famer, the great wide receiver, the playmaker, you see him on television, and that is Michael Irvin. Michael, good morning. How the heck are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. As you said, it is football season. That's the best time of the year. We get to watch some football now. All other sports we enjoy, those are the rest. But now it's time to get to the best.
I do have to start by being a little bit of a jerk. I have to. And that's the fact that the U did not exactly open the season looking stellar against LSU. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, and we were hyped and everything, and it just didn't work out, man. Oh, my God, I was so hurt about that game, man, right? And I'm leaving the game, and I'm dropping Edgerrin James and Clinton Portis off at the team hotel. And as I'm dropping them off, Evan, I see this guy he has on the University of Miami shirt, and he's so plastered. He's hurting. You know, and they're trying to get him upstairs in his room, and they put him on this on their cart that they bring to put your luggage on.
Right, right.
They bring and put them all on the cart. I said, oh my God, look at this guy. And for some reason, seeing that guy hurting like that made me feel better about my hurt. I shot it and put it on my Instagram. I said, I feel bad, but I know I don't feel as badly as this dude, so that makes me feel better, and I shouldn't be feeling that way. So I feel bad about it, but it's the reality, man. That was a hard game.
The good news is they're going to win next week against Savannah State, so you're going to get off the snot and get a victory, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, but right there, you had them right there. You had the country back. The people were traveling again, University of Miami. The stands were pretty packed and everything, and that was just a big moment. I would have loved to have seen us play a better game in that game right there against LSU.
No, I get it. Let me ask you about the quarterbacks here in New York. Let's start with Sam Darnold. Do you think he's ready to start right away? Do you think the Jets are making the right decision by throwing him into the fire on Monday night?
Well, and they're working closely with him. There are two things that you got to consider when you're throwing a quarterback into the fire like that. You know, it's how well does he handle the pressure, because he's going to have some tough times, some failures. It won't be a smooth transition. He will not just automatically take off. But I don't care what anybody say. The other side of this is you only learn by learning. You only learn by being out there. People always talk about, well, you sit around and watch and learn that way. There's limited learning in that direction. You got to get on the field, see the game, see how fast the game is, make those throws. See if you complete those same throws, and him getting that opportunity to do that is invaluable. I'm kind of on the belief that preseason football is almost non-existent now. But the most important, valuable lesson you can get out of preseason football is letting those rookies play, letting that rookie quarterback play, and Sam Darnold played pretty well.
What did you – because you got to play with a rookie quarterback who turned out to be pretty damn good in Troy Aikman, and it was a rough year. But it all worked out well because the guy won multiple Super Bowls and did a hell of a job. What did you see from Aikman in his rookie year? Were you confident even as he struggled and the team struggled that he could turn into what he turned into?
Well, I always knew he could. And because Troy's mentality and his mindset was right. That's the whole key. Your mentality and mindset got to be right. Because you're going to get beat down. You are going to get beat up. And Sam Darnold and Troy Aikman, those were those tough guys. I always say to Troy, he knew he was going to be there. So that was all part of the process. He didn't let the beat down get him down and beat him down. He always knew he was going to be there, and that was part of it. And I think that's the same thing with Sam. I think he's incredible like that. And I think you guys got something right there. Remember now, get this now. 53 years ago, you drafted the man Willie Joe Namath in the first round. That was 53 years ago. He won Super Bowl III.
Yes.
Joe Willie Namath won Super Bowl III. Now it's 50 years later, you draft Sam Darnold. Now, I don't know if he won a Super Bowl, but that Super Bowl 53 is coming right around the corner. It's a lot of stuff up in there.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. So you're saying they're due. You're saying this is finally them hitting it after missing on Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez and, to a degree, Richard Todd and Ken O'Brien. You're saying this is it. They're finally going to hit a grand slam?
I say this. I say they got a good one this time. And with Jamal last year on the defense, now Sam this year on the offense, you're headed in the right direction. I'm not saying it's already there, but I'm saying you're headed in the right direction.
It feels that way. If I'm not usually confident, but it does feel that way. Do you think, you know, because one thing the Jets are missing, and a lot of teams are missing this, but the Jets have been missing it for a million years, is a pass rusher. Do you think they should have stepped up and either matched or beat the Bears offer on Khalil Mack? Do you think it would have been worth giving up two first-round picks?
Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? That's a hard one. Now, yesterday on the show, let me tell you what I did now. I talked about this, and these are the realities now. I know we always get so caught up into that defense win championship. And there were three or four guys that have gotten $100-plus million contracts on defense. J.J. Watt. And then the season after that, I think they went 9-7. You know, Von Miller. Season after that, they went 9. The season they got it, he went 9-7. You know, and Dominican Sue, they went like 6-10. And Fletcher Cox, and they went 7-9. It's hard to give a guy on defense that kind of money and then turn it in and make it equate to wins. Because I know we say that all the time, defense wins championship. The reality is, points win championship. Now, but when you're talking about Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack, now you're talking about the baddest boys in the league. The baddest boys in the league now. If you got that element on your team, if you can add that element and it gets you over the top, I say add that element. But if you're just adding that element to think it's going to put you in the top, I don't see it that way.
Yeah, you know what excites me about a guy like that? You saw it with Von Miller in the Super Bowl. They can wreck a game. I mean, a guy can get to the quarterback like that can change the – I think Khalil Mack may change the complexion in many ways of that NFC North. I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to take a few more hits now that Khalil Mack's in that division. A guy who can get to the quarterback at the rate Mack has, that can just destroy games.
That dude is bad, man. Oh. I watch him play against Tyron Smith, and I'm going to tell you something. He's the only guys I've ever seen get around Tyron Smith from the Cowboys. Tyron is that good.
Right.
Khalil Mack is that good. This boy is a bad man. So when you get a chance to get him on your football team, you go and get it. And for Chicago, Chicago had a pretty good running game last year. And now they're adding this element with Raquan Smith. They got a nice young defense going over there.
Yeah, the Bears, to me, reek of a team that can really make a big jump. I know it's tough because the division is going to be good, the conference is going to be good, but they added so many weapons on offense. They bring in a new coach in Matt Nagy. Obviously, Trubisky's going to have to be good, and we still don't know. But do you like the Bears to make a big jump this year based on all the moves they've made?
I like the moves the Bears are making. Let's remember now, Aaron Rodgers is back. Minnesota Vikings, they are over there. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I like the direction they're heading in. I think Trubisky's a nice young quarterback, and now you got some pieces to put you're putting together on defense. I got to see how this plays out. Let me tell you something, man. Hey, this is the good part about it all. It is just everybody looks like they're doing better right now. Either the Giants look like they're about to make a move. The Giants look like they're about to make a move now. With Saquon and Odell, everybody's happy. Everybody has their money now. I mean, this is 0-0, baby. Tomorrow night is the start of it all. So hope reigns supreme in every city right now, in all 32 cities. But we'll start dousing those things come Thursday night and come Sunday night. Some of that hope will start out.
Well, I would say that Buffalo has no hope. I would say there's no hope in the city of Buffalo. They had their playoff appearance. They had their party. They celebrated Andy Dalton. Now they're going to be awful.
You're absolutely right. how do you get how if you're Buffalo, you got to the playoff for the first time in about almost 20 years, 17 years, something like that, and now everybody's saying you have the hope the very next year. That's crazy right there, but I absolutely believe you're right.
All right, let's look at this NFC. So let's start with the Giants because you're right, man. With Odell and Saquon and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and an improved offensive line, this Giant offense has a chance to be really, really good. What about the rest of this team? What about the defense? Is it enough to compete in this NFC East?
If you can put up points, man, I'm telling you, Evan, if you can put up points in this league, and I always go back to that, you got a chance. And the Giants now, they have that chance to put up points. That kid Barkley can play. And now with Odell, Shepard, and everybody, and Eli, for the time he played in the preseason, I saw some very nice balls he was throwing. Some very nice balls. So this thing just clicked. It clicked. Now, here's the sticker. Boy, they got a hard schedule. Boy, they got a schedule, man. The Giants have a schedule. But if they can click early on offense, then they can make a lot of noise.
Do you think it was the right decision? Because this is going to be debated for so long here in New York. It's still happening right now. The decision to draft Saquon and not find Eli's heir apparent, whether it's Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Josh Allen. What did you think of the Giant decision to go win now and go get Saquon?
Paxton Lynch. I was just talking about this Rashard Perriman. You know, right, there are a lot of first-round draft picks just from a few years ago that they're letting go now, that they're letting go. This league is about right now. Mm. It's about winning right now. You got a chance. You think you got one small inkling, just a tiny little window of an opportunity. You jump through that window. I don't care what you say. That's what this league is about. It's that hard. It's that difficult. If you said, man, we can piece this together and we may have something here, you piece it together, and you try to go for a Super Bowl. So I absolutely believe the Giants did the right thing. You have Eli Manning. You have last few years left with him. You put all your marbles, all your cards right in the middle of the table, and you go for it.
And that's certainly what they're doing. We're talking to the great Michael Irvin. How about your Cowboy team? I guess one of the biggest questions is going to be, all right, who's Dak Prescott throwing the football to? They had Allen Hurns. Beasley needs to be back. Terrence Williams is there. They drafted this Michael Gallup. Who do you think steps up and ends up becoming Dak's favorite target?
And Dak, this is what I love about Dak. Dak plays the game inside out. He does some Tom Brady kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with what some of the things that they've done, because they said we're going to allow him to play the game inside out. They got inside slot receivers. Dak has an ability to step back and let go of the ball, but he also has an ability to buy some time and make plays down the field. They're turning the football game over to Dak, kind of like Carolina did with Cam a couple years ago when they moved Steve Smith. Because of those strong personalities, don't allow the quarterbacks to take over the offense and the team like they want them to. So I'm okay with it. I understand it. Now I want to see it produced on the football field. It sounds good and everything. I understand what you want to do, but it has to work out and produce on the football field. And that we're about to see. I can't tell you. I am worried about not having Travis Frederick in there. And I know the backup center, Joe Looney, he has the beard like Travis Frederick and all of that. I said the other day, I'm glad you had a beard like Travis, but I need you to block like Travis. Don't just have a beard and don't block like him. I need you to play like that dude played.
Yeah, and there's still mystery on when he's going to come back. I mean, he may only miss a week. He may miss 5 weeks. There's a lot of uncertainty about when Travis Frederick's going to be okay to play again.
Right, and everything the Cowboys have comes off of that offense. The offensive line, and now the defensive line that they have is pretty good. So that's going to be the key for them.
How difficult, and you've experienced this, and you've succeeded in it, but how difficult is it going to be for the Eagles with all the expectations after winning a Super Bowl, winning the 13 games, the backup quarterback helps them win a championship. Now the starting quarterback should be back at some point. We'll see Carson Wentz again. But there's got to be a lot of pressure to do it again after you do it the year before. What is that like trying to repeat as a champion?
There's nothing like it, and I tell people this. You know, you got to watch how things come out in the preseason, because it matters when you won the championship. How do we play that preseason? Because that now you got to get used to understanding that you are everybody's Super Bowl. Everybody's talking about how that Cleveland game looked, and the game was 5-0. Mm. Hey, for New York, for the champions, I mean, for Philly, that looks bad. But for Cleveland, that gives hope. I mean, you just beat the champion in the third preseason game of the NFL season, which is supposed to be the measuring rod, the game that kind of puts your guys out there. You won. I don't care that you won 5-0. You won. That means I got something I can work off of. Listen, we're playing with the champions. All we have to do is take care of our business, and we can be in this thing. That's the hope Cleveland gets to sell when they are playing against a team like Philadelphia. That's the understanding Philadelphia has to have. Every team is going to come in and play them with that mentality. No more underdog, no more of that stuff. You are the hunted. You went from hunting to now you are the hunted, and that's a hard thing sometimes to understand and deal with.
The only other team in this conference, I mean, there's two other teams in this conference, I think, that have huge expectations along with Philadelphia. The Vikings, because they went out and added Kirk Cousins, and the Rams, because they went out and added everybody. I mean, they go out and they add Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Dhamakang Suh. I mean, the Rams, who had a great year last year, really stock up a little bit. How do you look at the Vikings and Rams? Two teams that had a lot of regular season success last year. They didn't get to the ultimate goal. And I think based on their off seasons, have probably higher expectations this year. What do you think about both those teams?
Yeah, but okay, but look what the Vikings did. The Vikings went out, they played their guys. You know, them's old school. He wants to get his guys ready. I haven't seen any of the Rams guys get any play in the preseason here. And this is new. This is new. I may see how this plays out week one. You know, for the Rams, because that'll determine how our preseason is going to start going. If the Rams come out of the box playing great and they didn't play any of their stars in the preseason, you don't think other teams are going to pick that up?
Sure.
And start taking that thought and that way it goes. So it's interesting to see how that goes, man. If you could just step out, you haven't played any and play well, I think we have to watch that, because that's about how all the pieces of football is played if the Rams have success with that.
Oh, yeah. It's like a new trend now, and I don't think the owners are going to love it, because that's just another reason to get rid of a couple of preseason games and lose some money, especially if they can't add it to the regular season.
Well, yeah. You're right about that now. Well, the back end of what you just said, if they can't add it to the regular
season. That's the issue.
That's the issue. They don't mind getting rid of the preseason if they can add it to the regular season.
Of course.
So we convert this play money into some real money.
Do you any concern over Le'Veon Bell? I mean, he held out a little bit last year. You are. All right.
I am. You know, here again, and it kind of grab right on to the coat of what we're just talking about. Le'Veon Bell here. Now, if come in Monday and you get that week of work, at least you have something to what's going on in your mind. He didn't come in Monday, you know. And I got Pittsburgh. I got the Rams in Pittsburgh right now in the Super Bowl. But I got to give a little something. Like, let me first find out what's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell. Can I hold that up? And I can pull back Pittsburgh if things don't work out with Le'Veon Bell, because I do believe they need him if they think they're going to get to a Super Bowl.
Look, I don't want to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl again, and I understand they have a lot of flaws right now. Chris Hogan's basically the number one receiver with the issue with Edelman. But because this division is so bad in the AFC East, they get to beat up on Buffalo, they get to beat up on the Dolphins, yeah. The Jets are starting a rookie quarterback.
You know they're going to be there.
Oh, the road is going through Foxborough. Like, to me, if the Steelers are winning the AFC, which is possible, why not? It's a fine bet. They got to do it in Foxborough. Do you really see anybody knocking this team off? They're such pains in the asses every year, this Patriot team.
Evan, I don't see it, buddy. You can say what you will. And to that, as much as it pains us, we got to give them all the credit in the world for what they have accomplished, the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick together. It's phenomenal, the success they have had as a unit. It's incredible. Got to give them credit. No matter what you feel, how you feel, what you think, you got to give them all the love in the world, man. It's just been incredible, incredible run.
When is it going to end? I mean, seriously, when the heck is Tom Brady either just going to start?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's going to – it looks like if it does end, it's going to end off the field, not on the field, because we're trying to stir up so much stuff to get these two guys mad at each other that they can't work together so they can stop dominating like they have dominated. We can't beat them on the field, so we're going to stir it up some kind of way off the field. And trust me, I know that all too well because I saw that from Jimmy and Jerry.
Nah, you absolutely did. All right, so you're going with a Ram-Steelers Super Bowl. That's your prediction.
That's where I go with it. Ram-Steelers.
All right, I like it.
That'll be the one.
Not bad. Michael, I always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much for waking up and coming on.
Evan, it's that time of the year, baby. Let's just enjoy
what
God has blessed us with, and that's NFL football.
Damn right. The great Michael Irvin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.